So I admit to you this morning that I'm not really a harvest kind of person. I don't have a garden. In fact, I can barely keep the plant that's sitting on my desk alive. At our last home, when we moved in, there was this huge garden, like 50 by 30. I mean, it was monstrous. It took up the whole backyard. For some people, that might be appealing. For me, it was at least less grass to mow. And when we moved in, there were things growing in it. There were onions and other things. And when we moved out, we harvested bunnies, and lots of bunnies. To my own surprise, the other day, I actually even weeded the landscaping around our house. And when I weed things, I pull out the things I don't like and leave the things I do, regardless of what category they fall into. My mom learned early on not to put me in her flower bed because she always planted marigolds, and I think marigolds smell. And if it smells bad, then it should be a weed, right? Yeah. So in our own landscaping now, there's these nice little wispy things with little white flowers on them, and they're not exactly planted in the best spot, but they're still there because I like them. They probably shouldn't be, but I like them. And then on the other side of the house, there's this plant that had all of these branches, like a tree coming out of it. And to me, the branches look dead. There's no buds or anything on them. So I started cutting back these branches and finally just ended up getting out all of the branches from this plant. I might have killed the plant, but I like the way it looks now. It's just a green plant. There's none of these brown branches coming out of it. It's probably more than you needed to know about me personally, but nature is not my thing. Theologically, maybe, if God created everything, then God created the weeds, right? So if we pull the weeds, we're getting rid of God's creation. No? Okay. It didn't work on Tom either. Our gospel lesson from Matthew talks about harvesting. And throughout the summer, we will hear a few different stories about seeds and soil and growth, stories that Jesus shared with the disciples. But today first we talk about Jesus sending those disciples out into the plentiful harvest. Jesus sent 12. And they all weren't exactly the cream of the crop. Some of them were good and faithful, to a point. But some could be more likened to the weeds. Peter was the first to believe, and also the first to doubt and ultimately deny Jesus. Matthew was a dishonest tax collector, and Judas betrayed Jesus for his own benefit. But Jesus found favor in all 12 of these followers, even through their weediness. Now, obviously, I'm no botanist, and I know that we can't literally change the makeup of weeds, but we can change how we view them. I, for example, like seeing dandelions in the grass because it adds color, where my neighbors spray their yards and then get mad at me when I just cut my dandelions and it spreads all over their yards. Jesus didn't tell the disciples to go out to all the faithful people and tell them of God's love. Jesus said, go nowhere among the Gentiles, go no towns with the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus told them to go where he knew they had the most work to do. Now, the Gentiles and Samaritans were by no means perfect, but the focus Jesus gave the disciples was to reach the unbelieving, to reach the unfaithful, to the lost sheep, to let them know that God's kingdom has come near. Jesus charged the disciples with harvesting faith, harvesting believers, and harvesting love. Like the time it takes necessary to care for gardens and landscaping, Jesus was calling the disciples to focus on the weeds, to pay careful attention to the unbelievers. So what is it that you're harvesting? Do you tend to stick close to the Samaritan and Gentile types? Do you find it safer to share God's love with people who you know believe in God? With people who you think deserve God's love? you stick close to people who believe the same things as you do, who have the same political views and values. And why is that? I mean, we know that God tells us, God calls us to serve all people. Yet we easily still put up these walls and these reasons and these excuses why we can't. I was talking to my neighbors the other day, both of whom were raised in the church and quite active until just a few years ago. And I asked why they don't go to church anymore, and they probably don't want to be my neighbors anymore because I asked them why they don't go to church. But each of them willingly shared stories that were one-time experiences, one thing that happened that turned them away. Their reasons, their stories were legitimate to a point, but it was really, they're really just excuses. It's the same that we experience if we're in a broken relationship, when we've been wronged by someone or when we've wronged someone and we justify our anger or our resentment, because sometimes that's easier than actually confronting the issue or admitting our own faults. Jesus shares this calling of the 12 disciples for a reason. He calls these 12 guys who come from different backgrounds, different viewpoints, different levels of faith. Some who were well respected and some who were less than appreciated. And he sends them out to harvest, to tend to the harvest, to bring out fruitful and faithful people. Does the thought of talking about God in public make you uncomfortable? Do you prefer to leave God and faith language out of your conversations in the workplaces or among your neighbors? What about within your family? Growing up, my family went to church every Sunday. We were active every Sunday in the choir and in Sunday school and the bell choir. Never once do I remember my parents talking about God at home. The awesome thing, though, is that it's okay. It's okay to have our excuses. It's okay to not yet be comfortable going out into the harvest. It's okay if you can't find the time right now because of young kids or work commitments or any other reasons. It's okay because God knows our faults. God knows that our excuses are human nature and that we're not able to see in our immediate future and realize that God's kingdom is so much more. But that's why God reminds us daily through our holy baptism that we are loved, that we are given the Holy Spirit to help guide us. It's why we repeatedly pray the Lord's Prayer and receive Holy Communion, to be reminded of God's grace and patience and love, even amidst our excuses. We all live among faithful and unfaithful, believers and unbelievers. The harvest is surely plentiful. And even those so-called weeds can bring us knowledge and beauty. There are many out there who need to hear God's love. And there are many more out there who can share God's love with us. Whether we think we have the gifts for harvesting or not, God leads us and provides for us to share God's love out into the world. Through our own experiences, our words, our actions, through times just simply walking with people, we are given what we need for the journey. Just as the disciples were sent out and carried to do what seemed impossible, God sends and carries us. Trust in and listen to the Lord calling you to go out and harvest. And as you go, proclaim God's love to the world. Amen.